At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, December 8th, 2022. It's the Beat in the Book podcast, Megapod for week number 14. Good God, in the National Football League. We have a new leader in the clubhouse. We have a new leader. Based on my, thanks to my 2-10 stretch after killing it the first 9 weeks, we have a new leader. No hints, but it's Jeff Parles, everybody, who's sitting to my right here. By the way, it's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parles, VSiN host, right here at the South Point studio. Congratulations, you're in the lead by a game.
We got a lot of time left. A lot of time for anyone to win this thing still.
For you to mess it up?
Yeah, plenty of time. And Gil, it's just showing the Plinko nature of it. The two that you won were...
I didn't win two.
No, the two over the last 12.
The 10, yeah.
Over the last 12.
2-10, yeah.
Yeah. It was the Marcus Mariota throws interception and gets him benched game.
Yep.
And Minnesota pulling a rabbit out of the hat yet again against the Jets last week.
But 8 of the 10 were ridiculous the other way.
Yes, correct.
It's ridiculous.
Correct.
Todd Wishnev joins us from his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How you doing, Todd?
Good to see you, Gilly. And, you know, I jumped the gun here because I thought we were already on when I did my little dance about last week. But I know people will be upset if I didn't go back to a certain time early in the second half of the Giants in the Meadowlands. And Heineken fumbled. The Giants have the football. They're going to go in and take the lead. Holy cow. Me and Jeffrey Parles are going to cover, and the big man from Washington goes down.
Well, it starts with an apology. Apology to our guest this week. Mike Pritchard joins us for the first time. VSiN host Mike Pritchard, former national champion, although we've already talked about this. Once you're a national champion, you're not a former national champion. National collegiate champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. First round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons and rumored to be Dion's confidant with the Colorado Buffaloes now. It's Mike Pritchard, VSiN host. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to be with you guys today. Absolutely.
Yeah, and again, we'll try to get slog through this, but Todd is he's an acquired taste, Mike. So
okay,
okay,
all right.
Mike, they don't like.
You started the show with apology already.
Yes. So. Well, you have to understand,
they don't like people with personality, right?
Is that what it is? Okay.
We had Brent Musburger on, and Todd kept interrupting Brent. So just to give you an idea, don't feel special.
Well, I was more of a Bob Costas guy, Mike. I was more of a Bob Costas guy.
Is that what that was?
Very, very good, Todd.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jeff and I are like this on the studio console here. All right. Before we get into our best bets, because this is how this works, let us talk about a few things. One, dumbbell of the week. Do you have anything from last week?
I think it's fairly obvious. I think it goes to the entire New Orleans Saints franchise for blowing that game. That, again, you have, in order to lose that game, let's rewind to when it was 16-3.
Mm-hmm.
All Mark Ingram has to do is stay in bounds, pick up the first down. It doesn't even matter if he goes out of bounds if he picks up the first down. You're still taking another... probably because Bowles was going to wait to take his timeouts anyway. You're going to take at least another minute, 2 minutes off the clock. Then you inexplicably throw the ball on third and one.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, because again, Tampa did nothing the whole game. You had fourth and one at the plus 40. You either go for it. You either send Lutz out for a 57-yard field goal, and if you give him a shorter field, so be it. But if he makes the kick, you're up two touchdowns and two two-point conversions. Or you do what Dennis Allen decided to do and punt the football away and give Tampa the only life they possibly could have. And then, of course, you have the Tampa goes down, scores a touchdown. Then you have the next drive where you throw an incomplete pass on third and a million after you let Dalton take a sack, so Tampa gets to keep a timeout, and then you give up the touchdown. That was just as bad of a loss as we've seen all season in the league, and it was all back to that sequence with Ingram throwing the ball on third and one and punting on fourth and one.
Really, Ingram lollygagging 1 yard short of the thing. Now, he was hurt, right?
Right.
So it reminds me that the Super Bowl 22, where Washington famously crushed the Broncos 35-0 second quarter, 42-10, the Doug Williams Super Bowl. There's a play early in that game where Doug Williams got sacked and wrenched, and he just let go of the ball because he's like, I'm hurt. Here, take the ball. I don't care. I'm hurt. And Jay Schrader had to come in for like a snap, I believe it was. I thought about that with Ingram. I'm like, he was just like, I'm hurt. I don't care where the sticks are. He just runs out of bounds. There was that. There was also, by the way, the first of those touchdowns on the final two drives, the corner sits on Mike Evans, sits on the root. Like, dude, just don't let him. Like, the one thing you can't give up. It was second and 20 at the 45. Yeah. Mike Evans is behind him as a total PI. But, I mean, I guess that's it, Mike. You're a guy who's actually played the game, so we're just talking about it. But you know it. It's that attention to detail, right? If you do three or four of those things in a row, you're going to lose.
Yeah, first of all, great job by Jeff playing out the game that way. I mean, so many things had to go poorly, or so many things the Saints had to screw up to lose that game. I mean, it's fantastic analysis right there, Jeff. But, you know, what was crazy is Mark Ingram put out a tweet, because these days we got a tweet about it, right? I let my teammates down and all that. You know, everybody's hurt at this point of the season. I don't care if your leg's about to fall off. If you're in uniform and if you're performing out there, get the first down. Right. And certainly you don't have to tweet about it after that. So the chain reaction after that, the lack of detail, like you guys are talking about, the little things really is what separates competitive games anyway. But you have to lower your shoulder. You have to stay in bounds and get the first down. Jerry Glanville, I guarantee you this, Jerry Glanville, my former coach in Atlanta, probably would have cut Mark Ingram the day after that.
Really?
For running out of bounds. Oh, yeah. Hands down.
Hmm. Jerry Glanville, of course, Mike's coach. I have to say this, Mike. I'm sorry, but for the podcast audience, Mike, who was a member of the Atlanta Falcons in 1991 when the Falcons got to the postseason under Jerry Glanville, and they ran into what Aaron Schatz at Football Outsiders calls the greatest single football team of all time, the 1991 Washington Redskins, who at RFK, this is the thing about that game, though, Atlanta hung tough in a way that most teams didn't that year, and got it. It was 17-7 late in that game before Gerald Riggs plunged over from the 1 yard line for Washington. It was seat cushion day at RFK. And because we were so spoiled by that team that day, everyone instinctively, this was not on a memo, threw their seat cushions onto the field. It rained onto RFK Stadium. I don't know what your recollection is of it. And that game has forever been known as seat cushion game in Redskins lore.
Yeah, I do have that memory of that game that way. Also the weather, too.
Yes.
I mean, we ran a run and shoot, right? And we didn't have a running game. So we would have felt better about our chances because we got our doors blown off earlier that year in RFK against Washington, too. So I freely admit, I think that was the best Super Bowl team ever assembled. You know, the regular season was incredible for them too, but yeah, we ran into a buzzsaw, man. But you know, I do recall the seat cushions. I'm more specifically just remember the field conditions and the rain and you know, being a run and shoot team. Like, we thought we had a chance, but in reality, we had zero chance of winning that game.
Yeah, the regular season game, Mark Rippon threw six touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Also at RFK. Was that also the game? Was Brett Favre on your team?
He was on our team. He did. He came in late.
Yes, and he threw a pick.
Yep. He threw a pick six off my hands, by the way.
Oh, was that off your?
It was a little high.
Oh.
It was a little high. And he actually called me out recently, too, on a show he did, a podcast he did, and in which he thought, he said, I remember his quote. See, I remember things like this. His quote was like, I thought first rounders caught everything. Speaking about me trying to throw me under the bus, right? But he did throw the ball high and hot. He was inaccurate at the time as a passer, but it was a defining moment for Brett Favre. His first pass in the National Football League was a touchdown. Yeah, pick six though.
It was a pick six. Andre Collins. Right. I didn't know that came off your hands. Oh, Pritch.
It's on YouTube. It's out there.
What a moment for you. Great. When you go through your great moments in your career, be like, I was a national champion and Brett Favre hit my hands. His first pick ever.
I was all good though. I was all rookie, almost rookie of the year that year. So yes. I was all good.
You did okay. Todd, an in-game moment maybe for us.
Sure. I didn't do a real good job.
Okay. In game
this weekend. I'll give you an example. I did one that was really easy, and that was just that the Eagles were up 28-10 midway through the third quarter. They had the total at 55.5. And this is where, if you're watching all the games all year and you remember certain things, you can really take advantage of them. I took the under 55.5 there because I'd seen this pattern before in Eagles games, getting up big first half, and then just grinding out the second half and not even really trying to score, just trying to hold on to the ball. And that's exactly what happened in this Tennessee game. The game finished 35-10. But if you remember from earlier in the season, and I think this is a big thing in sports gambling in general, if you remember things that teams did in earlier situations that were similar, you can really take advantage of that in the end game. And I remembered at least three or four times where the Eagles were ahead big in the first half and then just kind of grinded the game to a halt in the second half. And that's exactly what happened. So it was a kind of easy under 55.5 in-game winner. Where I made a mistake this week, I got a little cute with my two possessions around the first half thing with the Jets and the Vikings. I had toward the end of the first half, I got the Vikings minus 14, not because I liked the Vikings minus 14, because they'd be the last team I would ever want to take laying big points with a lead in the NFL. But what I was thinking was Vikings are going to get two possessions, one at the end of the first half, one to come out in the second half, and then they'd get at least one score, and I'd be able to get the Jets back at like plus 17 and go for a middle 14-17. Unfortunately, that didn't really work out, and I got stuck with the Minnesota position. So sometimes you can be too cute for your own good.
Oh, I hate when you get too cute.
I did get too cute there. So that's a danger there. If you don't really like the position, don't necessarily try to be too cute to go for a middle there. And that's exactly what I did. Because really, the Minnesota Vikings are the absolute last team you would ever want laying a big number up a lot because they have a horrible defense and they're just going to, obviously let the other team back in the game. So that was pretty stupid.
By the way, worst take on Twitter ever. I can't remember who said this on Twitter, but somebody on Twitter this week said, I interrupt you more than you interrupt everybody. And I was
I think the numbers are a lot. The numbers are a lot. Closer.
Who just interrupted who right there? I was like, there's a difference between Todd like spray interrupting everybody and me just trying to get the show to move along. Worst take ever.
My interruptions have been way down. They used to be under 8.5 was the number. Now it's like under 2.5. So I think you're.
I'll max the over on that. Thank you very much.
I will defend Todd for a second here.
Thank you. Finally.
To defend Todd here.
Don't.
No. It's very quick because it's not 2.5. Instead of being 8.5, it's 5.5.
Maybe.
So it has gone down.
It has gone down. But
Thank you.
Well, yes, I got your back, Toddy.
All right, Todd. We have a new leader. Give us the records.
Okay, the records. Because Gilly Ice took a big L in the Giants Redskins game, where both me and Jeffrey had the Giants plus the 2.5, and if it's tied, 2.5 is cover, baby. Yes, that's right. Okay, so the new leader in the clubhouse is Jeffrey at 23-16, a nice 2-1 record last week.
Nice.
I took a 3-0 last week, a very nice 3-0 to go to 22-17. Gilly 1-2 to also be 22-17. So it's 23-16 for Jeff, and me and Gilly at 22-17, right on his heels. The guest seat is at 20-19.
Okay.
Did everyone win? Todd, was I the only one who won their teaser last week?
Yeah, the teaser. You are now winning the teaser at 6-7. Gil is 5-8. I'm 3-9-1 in the teaser. The guest seat actually is 9-4 on the teaser. So we're struggling on the teasers this year.
No pressure, Pritch.
The guest seat at 9-4 on the teasers is still the most miraculous thing in the season.
Yeah. So I got a syndicate behind me, so I'm good with the teaser.
Do you have a syndicate?
Fellas in North Las Vegas. Yeah, we all grew up out here. And it's a group of fellas in Northtown that we put together a teaser syndicate.
Really?
They're doing well. They cashed a 14-leg teaser earlier this year.
A 14-legger?
Yes.
Wow.
How many points, Mike?
It was 10-1. It was a, I want to say, I don't know
probably
what the card,
point.
It was a card. It was, 10-1. Right. They put in, I think they put in close to $100. Total. So they cashed, obviously, when you do the math right there, I mean, it was a nice situation right there. They actually hedged it too. So they tried to get a middle on it, but they needed one more leg. I forgot what the game was, but they actually hedged it and cashed out. I think they walked away with about $8,500 or something like that.
Very nice. All right. Yeah. Okay. So right before we get to the best bets, one more thing. The theme of this week, the better you can do sort of quantifying the difference between the previous starter to the current starter with quarterbacks, the better off you'll do this week. And this has to do with Thursday Night Football. But we're talking about Garoppolo to Purdy. We're talking about Lamar to Tyler Huntley. We're also now talking about Marcus Mariota to Desmond Ridder. That just came down this morning. And, of course, Thursday Night Football tonight, the Rams and the Raiders. The Rams, it appears, John Wolford is a game-time decision. It will be to the extent that his neck feels okay or not so good. And if it's not John Wolford, we're getting the word that it will be Baker Mayfield, not Bryce Perkins. Bryce Perkins apparently not in the equation here. Raiders are favored by 6.5. Let's just talk about Thursday Night Football real quick.
I see sevens. You don't see sevens anywhere?
They got bought down, Toddy.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, so you're still at 6.5?
Any of your best bets on the Thursday Night Football game?
Yes.
Todd has one. Mike, any thoughts on this game tonight?
You know what? I saw that line moving earlier. I don't like it going up to 7. I think, was it 6.5 now? I mean, I think the Raiders will win it. It's a good teaser leg for me if you want to tease the Raiders down. It's a short week, and from a preparation standpoint, everything was walked through. But the Raiders, they're so... precise right now. That's the best word I could use for what they're doing offensively, and they're more confident defensively, whereas the Rams are a complete mess. So I wouldn't even touch the game, but if I did, I would look to tease the Raiders down.
Though. Did you like Thursday Night Football games as a player, or did you hate them?
You know, you don't really think about it that way. I think the short week situations, you certainly want to get your body back if you can. But mentally, you want to get back out there and compete. If you're banged up, maybe you think about it a little bit more. But I think once you kick it off, once you're there, the hype of the game, the nature of the game, the nature of the sport, you're ready to go. So it's just what do you do mentally to make sure that you're ready to go for the game? And I think the way that the Raiders have won their win streak, they're feeling good about themselves. They're going to be more motivated and certainly more energized in this game with a home crowd, by the way, than the Rams will.
Before Todd makes his play on this game, I don't think Davante Adams is getting the credit he deserves for how well he has played the last month. Yeah. Because everyone has pointed to, and look, Josh Jacobs has been awesome the last 2 months also. But the Raiders started winning when Davante Adams has turned it on. And last week, in a game where Keenan Allen made as good of a catch as we saw all year on that 4th-and-12 touchdown, it was all Davante Adams. I mean, Davante Adams was completely uncoverable last week for Vegas.
We had a former wide receiver to assess that.
But Pritch, again, we talked about before the year where you talked about this a lot, Gil, and that the impact on Green Bay was going to be more than the impact on Vegas with Davante Adams. We have seen that in Green Bay. But now, Pritch, we're starting to see the impact of a great wide receiver getting comfortable within his offense. And the results have been amazing the last month for Davante Adams.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all about go-to guys. Those guys are never covered. If you think about true number one receivers on a team or a great player, a playmaker like that, they're never covered. I mean, they got catch radius. They're dependable. And certainly the quarterback's going to have a rapport with them. You know, the situation out there in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers never had a rapport with those young pups, and that was evident, and that was startling too. To be honest with you, I thought Green Bay or Aaron Rodgers had a chance to close that gap if he applied himself that way. Whereas, you know, there's continuity and relationship chemistry between Derek Carr and Davante Adams. It was just Josh McDaniels understanding that duo and understanding what they're both capable of in the work ethic and letting them perform that way. So there's a green light to throw the ball to Davante each and every play, I believe, offensively. And certainly they're going to have about 10, 15, maybe even 20 plays designed to get the ball to Davante in every game.
Raiders 2 games behind the Jets for the final playoff spot, currently anyway, in the AFC playoff picture. Todd, what's your play?
I'm going to take the LA Rams. Now, obviously, I'd like them at +7 better than +6.5, but I'm still going to take them here if you're only going to give me the 6.5. I watch the entire I watch every game, of course, but I watch very carefully that Rams game against Seattle last week, and it smelled of all the – we even talked about it when you took Seattle last week, and that I believe the guest was talking about how they're gonna just try to win the game without showing anything against a beaten-down Ram team. And the Rams hung in that game with Seattle that – what'd you say?
The guest.
It's Dr. Bob.
Yes.
I forgot it was Dr. Bob. I couldn't remember who it was. Sorry.
Yeah, he also gave us the trend that favored Pete Carroll covering, but okay, go ahead.
Right. No, I wasn't saying he was right or wrong, but I just remember we mentioned something about the fact that Seattle may not cover that game. I just don't think the Raiders, I know everyone's all in love with the Raiders because of their 3-game winning streak. Oh, fantastic. The Raiders, they're unbelievable. The Raiders are great. You know what? I had the Raiders on the in-game last week, and I was nervous as all heck when they had a 2-touchdown lead and almost let the Chargers back in the game. The Chargers almost went down the field, got another touchdown and 2-point conversion to win that game like they did the week before. So I'm not a big, you know, I don't like when people, you know, after a whole bunch of weeks, they think, oh, this team is just horrendous. And then after a couple of good weeks, this team is just fantastic. I love to fade that stuff, just like I faded the Redskins last week or the Commanders, whatever that team's name is, 6-7 games in a row where they're playing amazing. You know, no one's going to want the Rams tonight. No one is going to want the Rams tonight. And I'm going to take the Rams, and I think their defense is good enough to hang with the Raiders. And here's the other Achilles heel for the Raiders. That defense is not that good. That defense is just not that good. So granted, Bryce Perkins or Baker Mayfield or whoever it might be, I think they can get enough points, and the Raiders are not going to want to show anything. They're just going to want to get out of the town just like Carroll did. So give me the Rams +6.5. I know it sounds crazy, but it wouldn't shock me.
I'm with you, Todd, and I was going through on a numbers game this morning. I was going through, you know, because people are all about, oh, the Raiders can make the playoffs, which they can. They could. But
the Raiders, they're not that good.
The 3-game win streak was the Broncos game, Nathaniel Hackett, right, where they couldn't
throw that in the garbage. Remember, please,
remember they had a 2nd and 2 at the 4 late in the first half where Melvin Gordon had his final fumble and they landed on them. They got the 25-yard field goal blocked. And then remember, with 2 minutes left, the Raiders had no timeouts left. The Broncos were up, and they decided, the Broncos, to throw an incomplete pass. So it gave the Raiders 40 extra seconds. The Raiders ended up winning that in overtime. Then it was the Seattle game, which Jeff did a great job of going through play-by-play last week, which had to do with the premature whistle on the Josh Jacobs fumble, which would have ended it. They ended up getting tied. Then remember the muffed punt, which the Raiders landed on, their own muffed punt. Then the 55-yard field goal that Carlson missed in overtime that they should never have attempted, and yet somehow they did get bailed out by the defense. And then last week, by the way, 3 offensive linemen for the Chargers out, plus Mike Williams. So it's not exactly been the 91 Skins, just to get back to that reference. It's been a...
That was the key thing of the game.
Yeah.
The Raiders could get pressure because there was no offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I listen, and I'm not a big Josh McDaniels guy. Like, his career record is 16-24, and he was 6-0 at the beginning, if you remember, with the Broncos, and he was discovered that he was cheating, that he was doing all the Belichick taping the opponent's practices thing. Oh, no wonder we're so well prepared. We know what they're doing. So I don't know. I mean, listen, could they continue with this royal flush? Sure, but I'm not racing. Like, there's a lot of people here in town who are like, oh, they're going to get to the playoffs. I'm not with that.
Give me no for the limit on the Raiders in the playoffs. That is not happening.
The one thing I will say is if they don't blow tonight,
and they probably won't
blow tonight, You get a winnable game against New England next week. The final week of the season, you get Kansas City, who could very easily have nothing to play for. The path is there. Now, I don't think they're beating San Francisco week 17. I think that's the big issue, the fly in the ointment here. Where
and they could blow one of the other games,
sure,
too,
could,
Jeffrey.
Todd, they could lose to the Patriots next week. They could lose on Christmas Eve to the Yinzers.
Do you remember them losing to the Colts? The Colts
Look, that was the, Josh McDaniels can't survive. They're 3-0 since
the
that
Colts
game.
The Colts game was the game right before the three-game winning streak where they remember they were having...
And the Jacksonville game.
They couldn't catch
Matt...
They couldn't catch Matt Ryan in the Colts game,
Gil, they had this horrible... After beating Houston, which, whoop-dee-damn-do, you beat the Texans. Congratulations. they had the three horrible games in a row where they got embarrassed, shut out of New Orleans. They blew the giant lead to the Jaguars, who aren't any good. And then, like you guys said, the Jeff Saturday was better than Josh McDaniels game. Again, I don't think they make the playoffs either. I think there's too many good teams in front of them. But, look, if they win their next three... All of a sudden, that New Year's Day game against San Francisco becomes very interesting.
I had to over 5.5, by the way, for Todd.
Oh, you did for the Raiders.
I did.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I've been way too because I'm really mad about this whole Raiders nonsense. So it gets me. So the over did cash, Mike. I will give you that.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to clean something up though, because this has been bothering me. It's like my old playing days. I had to look at the ticket. It was 150-1. The 14 leg parlay. I can show you guys.
Real quick. Okay.
I don't know if you can see that. Yeah.
How many points on each game, Mike? Yeah. How many points on each game?
It's a teaser card bet. So on a teaser card, I don't do teaser cards. I don't know how many points.
It usually says 10 point teaser or 7 point teaser, something like that. It doesn't say that.
Yeah. Not on the ticket. No, I don't see it anywhere. Maybe they didn't get the whole ticket, but. It was a payout. The bet was right around 14 leg parlay card bet. $50. The cash out was
$7,500. Wow, nice.
It's a good day at the office.
Yeah. I know. Teaser cards. I mean, I don't know what you guys or how you guys feel about that, but I don't know. I don't really play those cards, but the syndicate does. And you know, they call them lottery tickets. And about twice a year, they hit a couple of them. It's incredible to be able to do something like that.
North Vegas Syndicate. What do you call them again?
Just the syndicate.
Just the syndicate. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get them on the show.
So, Gilly, is that one of your picks, also?
No, sir. You're going with the No, sir. Yes. It's not one of my picks. But I'm with you on it. What was that, number one, two, or three for you?
You can make it one. I don't care.
That's okay. Well, if I don't care, you certainly shouldn't either. Okay, Mike, let's start with your best bets. Let's do number one from you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I wavered on this, too. I'm laying 3 points here. I think against the Chargers, I know it's back-to-back road trips, and Tua to play or be considered that he had a bad game, look at his numbers and look how he played. I mean, I know he had the interceptions and everything like that, but I think if you're a good team, if you have momentum like that, you'll bounce back. They stayed on the West Coast. They're going to be fine that way. Tua... and that offense, they are dynamic. And just watching the Chargers against the Raiders, by the way, defensively, Staley has just been underwhelming. I mean, he has been a guy who has not lived up to expectations. He's got one of the worst scoring defenses in the National Football League. That's 2 years in a row, by the way. So if you have a high octane offense, like I believe the Miami Dolphins do, I think they bounce back and cover the three here.
All right. Dolphins -3, we're seeing. Yeah. -3.
I see. I see 3.5, but what do you guys see?
I see a mix of 3 minus 20 and 3.5.
Let's see.
Okay, so we can give him the 3.
It's good. I
see enough 3s.
I think there's enough 3 minus 20 out there. Yeah.
We're very strict, Mike. Very strict.
I see that. Yeah.
They don't let you get away with anything on this show.
Well, it's okay. So you didn't give me the rules. Is it the time of the show or is it the time I saw the bet?
Time of the show.
Okay. See, I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Okay. My shortcoming.
It's a poor job by our quarterback who thinks that Mark Rippon was the greatest quarterback in history.
No, but I'd put that season up against anybody's season. That's for sure. Jeffrey.
All right. So it's my first one. I'm going to take the under in Kansas City and Denver at under 44 because this game has been bet up 2 points, despite the fact that the Denver Broncos have been the most incompetent offense that I can ever remember, coupled with a great defense, as we know. Gil, I was running some numbers earlier this week.
I like what Jeff runs the numbers.
Running some numbers. Just trying to figure out how historically bad, and just not historically, just bad, the Denver Broncos have been scoring in the second half. Here's what I found. The Denver Broncos this year in the second half has averaged a whopping 5.3 points per second half this year. 5.3 points in the second half. 14 points came in the Jacksonville game in London. You take that game out, they're at 4.5. It has been absolutely impossibly awful. Now, it's not like they've been good in the first half. They've just at least been mediocre in the first half. In a game where you're facing a guy like Spagnuolo, who can adjust in-game, even though his defense is not particularly great, I don't see how Denver scores after the first quarter in this game against Kansas City. And Kansas City's dealing with a whole collection of injuries. Mahomes isn't even 100%. He's battling a bruised foot this week. So against that defense, Kansas City usually struggles to move the ball at Mile High against the Broncos. I think this is an under. We're going under 44. And if I lose a Bronco under whatever, so be it.
All right, let's
1-11, by the way. They're 1-11.
Yeah, one game over. That was the Raider game here. That was it.
1-11 what?
1 over 11 unders this year for Denver.
So, again, the stat that we always bring up with Denver, they're 3-9 in the standings. Yep. Had they scored 18 points in every game in regulation, they would be 10-2.
Yep.
That is unbelievable. And then, Jeff, you sent me this tweet from Andrew Mason.
Yes.
In the Super Bowl era... So we're talking 1966 till now. So that's, 57 years?
Uh-huh.
The Broncos are the 70th team to allow 17 or fewer touchdowns in their first 12 games. That from Pro Football Reference. So the 70th in 57 years, basically just over one a year on average, to allow 17 or fewer touchdowns in the first 12 games. None of those first 69 teams in that category were worse than 6-6 after 12 games. The average win total for those teams, 9.04 wins. The Broncos are 3-9. That is a monster statistical outlier. It's incredible.
If they've just had a mediocre offense,
oh my God,
they would have a chance at the number one seed in the AFC. If they've just had a mediocre offense this year.
Golly, it's crazy bad.
The thing that's interesting also is that somehow the over-under streaks happen a lot longer than the spread streaks. So when you have like spread streaks of like the Commanders, you know, covering 6 in a row, and the over-under things last longer a lot of times. Like if you guys remember a couple years ago, Tampa Bay, I kept betting Tampa Bay over every single week with Jameis Winston throwing picks and their defense was terrible and their offense could move the ball and they just kept going over week after week and the pros would bet it down and we would bet the over and me and Jeff would just sit there and go touchdown, touchdown, and it would go over every week. Denver is it, now, why are they betting it over this week? Why are they moving it from 42 to 44? Because I'm with you. How is Denver going to get to 17?
Well, that's the thing, Todd. Like, I almost considered laying 9.5 with Kansas City because the alternative thinking of this is if you think this is an over game, how is Denver covering 9.5 if Kansas City's scoring 30 points? I don't think Kansas City's scoring 30 points. So this is kind
Denver's
of
Denver's defense is good.
No, I look, Denver's defense speaks for itself. Like Gil just said that again. That guy in Denver whose tweet I sent you, he just has a goldmine of sad Denver statistics this year.
I am going Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going Yinzers, Todd. I'm laying the 2.5 against the Baltimore Ravens.
Gilly's going to get burned.
Burned, says Todd. By the way, when Todd was getting his ass kicked for 9 weeks, I didn't hear much from him, but now he knows everything. This guy knows everything. Oh, yes, everything you say, Gil, is wrong.
He's got a chance to crow. When Yin's got a chance to crow, you got to crow.
I have kind of had it with the Baltimore Ravens at this point. And yes, they did beat the Broncos 10-9 last week. Lost the week before to Jacksonville by a point. Beat Carolina 13-3. Those were Lamar Jackson games, the ones before Denver. This is Tyler Huntley. Now, there, of course, Tyler Huntley, a lot of people, you know, the sort of knee-jerk is, well, it fits right into the mold of the Baltimore offense, and so they don't have to change much. He's not Lamar Jackson. And Pittsburgh, again, the Mike Tomlin stat, has never had a losing season. The Steelers on a bit of a little roll here, and the fact is that T.J. Watt is in the lineup. They are unbelievable still with T.J. Watt in the lineup. He didn't have a lot to do with the victory last week, but I expect him to make a play or two that changes. That's the thing about Pittsburgh's defense. They have game-changing players on that defense, in addition to Watt, including Minkah Fitzpatrick. I'm not buying the Ravens. I think they have trouble here with a resurgent Pittsburgh Steelers team, and I made a bet yesterday on Kenny Pickett to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year at 28-1. The thinking being, because there's four guys in single digits, none of whom are quarterbacks, the thinking being if Kenny Pickett can play good football here the rest of the way, it's sort of the game is gamed in his favor because he's the one remaining quarterback. And I don't think now we have some injuries to Kenny Walker. I don't know if Chris Olave has had his moment yet. Some of these other guys, by the way, Damian Pierce is donezo with it. I think that's the bet. I'm taking Pittsburgh here. I think that the Steelers next week are going to have the same ridiculous conversation we're having about the Raiders being in the playoff hunt next week.
So I got yelled at by someone on Twitter for saying that Pickett was live still.
He's live. Even someone yelled at me too.
Even though he's only thrown four touchdown passes.
Probably the same guy.
Right. Yeah, I was about to say Pittsburgh as a team has 8 total touchdown passes.
No, I know. He only has 4 touchdown passes. But if you watching the game since the bye week, I think Kenny Pickett has genuinely played well the last month. Even though they're not scoring passing touchdowns. And also, too, you are 100% right. If Pittsburgh wins this game and covers this number, I think they will win. I just don't have the fortitude like you to lay the points in a game where I was fully prepared to get a field goal with Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. This schedule is very manageable the last month.
Yep.
You go to Carolina next week, which is kind of coin flip because the Panthers are playing better. You get Vegas on a short week. Everyone's on a short week, the Christmas week. Then who knows what Lamar Jackson's health is on New Year's Day against Baltimore.
Yeah.
This is setting up for Pittsburgh all of a sudden has 8-8 to go over 500 again week 18. And also, too, Gil, the Ravens are really lucky they found a way last week.
Sure are.
Because if they lost that game without, let's say Lamar Jackson, even if he misses two games and comes back, everyone was talking the whole year, hey, the Ravens' schedule is really soft. They're going to still find a way to win the AFC North. I don't care that their schedule is soft. They have not looked good really since that Monday night game against New Orleans, and that had to do with New Orleans more than it had to do with them.
Who on that Ravens defense is beating the, who on that Ravens offense, pardon me, I can't speak, who on that Ravens offense is beating the Steelers defense this week? Who?
Andrews is the only guy that could.
Who?
Could.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
There are signs that the Ravens could slide. I think go to the defensive side a few weeks ago and the fourth quarter situations for that defense, the lack of communication, guys even making the comments to the media about what's going on with the defense. There's indicators and there's signs that the Ravens could slide, and now you factor in Lamar's injury. Absolutely, it sets up well for that situation to happen.
Yeah, and as far as the Pickett thing, let me just also say this. This is for people who are newer to betting. Like, in futures markets like this, the object is to always get ahead of the market before the number drops, right? So whether it's Ole Miss in college in the College World Series at 100-1. Whether it's Max Duggan, who I have a 100-1 ticket on, that's probably not going to get there. Whether it was Juan Soto last year, an NL MVP that didn't get there, 150-1. You have to be able to sort of identify these, you know, what sets up nicely. If Pickett has a 300-yard performance in this game, let's just say, throws two touchdown passes and no picks, his number will get to, it will be cut in half.
At least.
At least.
Yeah.
In 1 week. So we'll see with that.
Your biggest problem is Garrett Wilson at this point in that market.
Yeah, but he's a wide receiver and he's so dependent.
Right. But as long as the Jets stay with Mike White, I think you're in trouble.
Yeah, which is a whole nother conversation.
That's why he's getting 28-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
100%.
My number two pick, I'm taking the Bengals. This got down to 5.5. Is that what you guys are saying?
Yeah, that's what I got right in front of me.
So now that it's 5.5 and no longer 6, I am going to take the Bengals here as my number two. Browns seem to have there's a bit of a revenge spot here for the Bengals. Got crushed by the Browns last time, if I'm not mistaken. Am I remembering that correctly?
Correct.
Yes. And I think the Bengals, it's 5.5 points, but like Deshaun Watson last week, I don't know what we were expecting from him his first game back, but I hope the expectation wasn't much because we didn't get much. And the Browns won that game last week based on a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown. Defensive touchdowns. Yeah. And a punt return. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yep.
So, Joe Burrow and company, Ja'Marr Chase back in the lineup, that offense, I always say Dallas might have the best unit with their defense, but when that Bengals offense clicks, man, that is something else. I don't think Deshaun has enough to get this done. And I think the Bengals can key here a little bit on the running game of the Browns. I am actually going to lay the points here on the Bengals because I think they want to beat this Browns team pretty badly, or at least make a statement against their cross-state rivals. So I'm taking the Bengals, I'm laying the points, and the -5.5. Now that it's down off the 6.
Yeah. All right. It's my second one. I am taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers +3.5 against the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I'm sure I will hate myself midway through this game when Tampa cannot move the ball against the 49ers, but this is a whole different circumstance now for Brock Purdy. After getting put in midstream against a bottom-tier defense and, quite frankly, playing pretty damn well, things considered.
He's not good.
Todd, let me finish my damn point here.
No.
Let me finish.
He doesn't interrupt anybody.
Let me finish.
No.
Well, I was on the over already, so I figured.
Let me finish. Brock Purdy, by the end of his time at Iowa State, I'm stunned he got drafted.
Me too.
Stunned.
How many times did we bet on him and be like, oh, God.
Because Purdy had the weirdest college trajectory I can remember for a quarterback. Because he was genuinely really damn good early in his career. And then by the end of his career at Iowa State, it's like, this guy's still starting. Why haven't they benched him?
Remember that bowl game where he just kept throwing picks?
Yeah, it was crazy how by the end he was just a shell of himself. But again, he played well against a bottom-tier defense because Kyle Shanahan had him ready to play. This is a whole different game now. I know Tampa's on a short week. I know that offense is terrible and has only scored more than 22 points one time the whole year, and that was the game against Kansas City where they were trailing the whole game, and Kansas City played prevent the entire second half. But this feels like, Gil, where the entire league has let Tampa Bay, despite the fact that they are mediocre to bad, hang around, still probably winning the NFC South. I think Tampa goes there and wins this game outright to the dismay of a bunch of us. That's why I'm taking Tampa +3.5 here, especially now that I'm getting the hook on 3.5. Even though I think the Niners are better, even with Brock Purdy, I think this game Purdy throws multiple picks and the Bucs win it outright as a 3.5 point dog.
Well, this is the big conversation we had on Guessing Lines on Monday, by the way, going through the play-by-play on that game that we were talking about earlier in the show. The Saints and the Bucks. We went through that the next day also. But the Guessing Lines, we were talking about, you know, the difference in points between Chrissy being a bookmaker, Chris Andrews here at the South Point, saying, okay, what do you think the difference is between Lamar Jackson and Tyler Huntley? And I said 4 points, and he goes, that's what I have it at.
Right.
Then he said, okay, what's the difference between Jimmy G and Purdy? And what came out of my mouth was 3 points. And he goes, yeah, that's kind of what I have it at. And then I thought to myself, I'm like, that can't be. Like, it can't be that Jimmy Garoppolo, and I said it, it came out of me, it can't be that Jimmy Garoppolo, who got his team to a Super Bowl and played very well in other postseasons, he can't only be 3 points better than mystery-relevant Brock Purdy. It just doesn't make any sense.
I'd like to go against what you're saying right now, sir.
Please.
If I Okay, my second pick is going directly against my friend from last week, Jeffrey Parles, who we both had the Giants against the Commanders. Just a little review. Heineke fumbles again! Oh, my God. Anyways, this week I go against my guy, Jeffrey Parles, and I'm taking the Niners -3.5.
Wow.
And here's why. I don't like Brock Purdy. I'm with you. I think Brock Purdy stinks. He's a rookie quarterback. He's ridiculous. But if there was any rookie quarterback in a situation on a team that I think could be protected and still be able to win the game, it's the San Francisco 49ers. Because the 49ers don't win because of Jimmy Garoppolo. They win because he luckily doesn't throw interceptions.
What about Garoppolo? What about Jimmy Garoppolo? Yeah, I was going to say.
Jimmy Garoppolo and Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah. Both those guys throw way too many balls to the other team and he gets lucky that they drop them. They win the game because they play defense and they run the ball and they throw little dinkers to Ayuk and Samuel and he runs for 80 yards. It's not because Jimmy G does anything. In fact, Jimmy G is nothing more now. I'll give you a timeout. Can I just finish my point? Jimmy G now is nothing more than a glorified game manager. At one time, he was a little bit better than that, but he's nothing more than a glorified game manager on a team with a vaunted defense. And a vaunted running game and some great wideouts. So I say you plug Brock Purdy in there. You've got a coach who knows what to do to manage games. And we're going to get it done against the worst football team I've ever seen in my life, Tom Brady, and the disgusting Tampa Bay Buccaneers who don't even deserve two of their wins. I mean, it's ridiculous. 3.5? Sorry.
So you're right about the fact that the reason it's only three between Garoppolo and Purdy is because of who he's surrounded by the rest of the team, offensively and defensively. However, you said Jimmy Garoppolo, they don't win because of Jimmy Garoppolo, but you know what they don't do? They also don't lose because of Jimmy Garoppolo. And that's the fly in your ointment, my friend. That they don't. And they will, whether it's this week or next week or the week after, they will lose because of Brock Purdy at some point. Or as you call them, Brock Purdy.
I'm agreeing Brock and Brock Purdy are both terrible. I don't like them. I'm just saying that if you had to plug in a rookie quarterback and say, try not to lose the game, what team would you want to put him on? I would want to put him on the Niners, and I'd love to be playing the Buccaneers, a team that's the offense is so ridiculous.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
They can't move the ball against the New Orleans Saints. Now you're going to ask them to move the ball against a vaunted defense? Give me a break. This Bucs team is horrendous. And by the way, Tom Brady is not Tom Brady anymore.
Yeah.
Okay? He's just not. He misses guys all over the field. He missed that bomb to Jones. I mean, he's just not Tom Brady anymore. Stop it.
To your point, Todd, everybody, actually, to all you guys and your points, I mean, in a down year for quarterbacks, do you still factor quarterbacks to be that considerable towards the line?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
I would say, but the team is important.
Of course it is.
Right. I would think so. Yeah. The running game, all that. Yeah. Right. I mean, the defenses as well. I mean, I know quarterbacks in years past went a passing league and it was basically 7-on-7. But as I watched the league this year, it's my era of football. I mean, they're running the football, the toughness aspect, the factor. And there's so many backup quarterback quality performances out there right now. I just think it's a down year for quarterbacks. And you've seen some guys emerge that way. But I was just wondering from a betting perspective, like how have everybody adjusted to the down year for quarterbacks?
Well, and to Todd's point also about what you're talking about, Pritch, which is, you know, let's take Tom Brady at his height playing for the New England Patriots. Your opponent matters too. So when assessing what does that quarterback mean to the line, if Tom Brady at his heyday was absent, let's say we found out Sunday morning before a game at Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, Tom Brady's absence would mean much more to the line than it would be if we found out Tom Brady couldn't play a home game against the hapless Jets in that era. So it also matters. And so to Todd's point about this game, they're playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So it's not going to matter nearly as much as it would against a much more quality opponent. I'm with Todd. Like, I think Tampa Bay is just, good Lord, two games now where they have just stolen them.
Yeah, they should be 4-8.
So,
They should be 4-8 right now.
And they're going to the playoffs. They're a 92% chance to make the postseason.
Not only are they going
to the playoffs. And by the way, in football, do you have to score points to win the game?
More times than not. I'm pretty sure you do.
And yeah, how are they going to score points against this? I've never seen – this offense is horrendous. It stinks.
All right, you've had your time.
No, I just totally lost my train of thought.
All right, I'll get Mike. Mike has two now.
Pritch. Mike, you get two picks.
You get two, Pritch.
I get two picks. Okay, I like the Lions. When I looked at it before, it was 2.5, and now they're laying 2.
Yep.
I still like the Lions in the situation against the Vikings. I mean, Jared Goff, the confidence that he has right now. The Lions actually want to run the football, fellas. And Jameson Williams, I'm wondering when he's going to make an impact with that speed. And you guys mentioned it earlier, you know, the Vikings and that defense shortcomings are all over the place. I think second time around, and you have this situation with the Lions at home, I got to go with them laying the 2 points. And then I just have to, just on principle. It might not make sense, but it's just too many points. And it's Houston catching 17 points, right? I mean, Dallas, they destroyed the Colts. The Colts, situationally, towards the end of the first half, they just blew that up and handled that situation poorly. But Houston, I mean, I think there's parity in the league. I really do. And maybe the Cowboys are 2 touchdowns or even 3 touchdowns better than Houston. But I just feel like this is too many points, maybe a backdoor situation. So I like the points there with Houston.
17's a lot. Davis Mills back in the lineup, Jeffrey.
Yeah, he is.
Hey, indoor game. He might play well. Can I before we get to Todd's pick, I know we're up against it here, but can we talk about the Vikings for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Because the pendulum has flipped so aggressively now.
Yes, it has.
Where basically, this is basically what the position of a lot of people is right now, Gil. If you think the Vikings are a top 10 team, not only are you wrong, but you're a jerk and a bad person. That's essentially what it has turned into now, which is, all right, they have been fortunate. They probably should be 7-5, maybe even 6-6. They are obviously amazing in these close games. Another one like last week where the Jets kept getting in the red zone and shooting themselves in the foot. And Zuerlein kept having to make field goals instead of touchdowns, a game they probably should have lost. But here's the thing with Minnesota. When you're a well-coached football team like they are, we're watching intricately the last 2 weeks, O'Connell, because it was against my team, the Jets, and then the Thanksgiving game against New England. So watching them full on, full out, the whole game, every single play, that offense is well-coordinated. That offense is good. They have good offensive play calling. They have the best skill position player in football right now, who the Jets did as well as humanly possible against last week in Justin Jefferson. I actually agree with Pritch. I actually think the Lions are going to win the game this week. But I think the pendulum, and I think we have to be careful with this because the NFL is still a small sample size when it's all said and done. It's still only 17 games. That is still a small sample size. When push comes to shove.
Let me just ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Do you consider them at all a Super Bowl contender?
No, I don't. I consider them the fourth team in the NFC.
Right.
But here's the thing, though. The way that you see them talked about, they are talked about a team that shouldn't even be in the playoffs,
which is
not correct.
I hear what you're saying. They're 10-2, and their point differential is +10.
Yes. They've been amazing in close games. Yeah. Again, I don't think they're beating the Eagles in a playoff game in Philadelphia, which is probably what they would have to do. If they play San Francisco, even with Brock Purdy, I think San Francisco would beat them. But to treat them basically as a team that is not even a playoff team is a farce. They're a playoff team.
Well, I think I hear what you're saying, but I mean, people think they'll make the playoffs. But yes, I understand.
Well, they're going to win the division.
Yeah, the sentiment is that, and they could clinch it this week, and the sentiment is... has maybe the pendulum has swung maybe a bit on that for sure. Todd, what's your final one?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets.
Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Before I do my final, can I ask Mike a quick question?
Sure.
Mike, as a former NFL player, did you ever see anything suspicious either with players or with refs in all your NFL games? Did you ever see things that made you think, the game, is this game 100% on the up and up? Now, I'm not saying that it is. I'm just curious from a player's perspective. Did you ever see something, whether it be refs or players, where you thought, that is very suspicious?
You know, to be honest with you, Todd, I at the time didn't consider it suspicious like that. But now that I've become a better, there's been some instances, right? Not so much from a player standpoint, because those are harder to identify. But from an officiating standpoint, absolutely. You wonder, how did they make that call? What did they see? Even when they screw it up, the explanation that they give you was BS, to be honest with you. And you knew it, and you had to get through it. You had to be frustrated for a moment and then get through it. But there was some occasions throughout my years in the National Football League from an officiating standpoint. Now that I think back on it and recollect back to that time, I mean, it's like, I wonder what was happening right there.
Greatest corner you ever faced?
Aeneas Williams, Hall of Famer.
Oh, wow. Aeneas Williams, the Cardinals.
I went up against him often. And I mean, obviously Dion primetime was the best, I mean, hands down, but he was on my team. And then, but just going up against Aeneas Williams week in and week out, well, not week in, week out, every season pretty much, that guy was a challenge. He was underrated for most of his career, but then obviously at the end of his career, he gets his flowers and goes into the Hall of Fame.
Todd, you're number two. Or number three.
Thanks for that answer, Mike, because I always find that interesting from a former player's perspective. Okay, my number three, I'm going to do in my Yinzer voice because it is the Pittsburgh Stars against the Baltimore Ravens. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down air to what used to be Heinz Field and that, and I'm going to take the over. And Yinzer are going to say, Woody, Yinz crazy? Tyler Huntley's the quarterback. Yinz can't take the over. Here's the thing. I watch a lot of National Football League games, and I eat big meals before I do it. And I'll tell you one thing that you need to know. Tyler Huntley's not that bad.
What about Tyler Huntley?
I've seen him in the past. I've seen Tyler, whatever the guy's name is, Huntley. You know who I'm talking about. The quarterback for the Ravens is not as bad as Yinz think he is. Yinz think, this is just some garden variety backup quarterback. I remember him in previous years having a pretty good game at Green Bay, if I'm correct or not. I'm not sure. I just remember him. He's not that bad. And now Yinz are going to say 36.5? 36.5 is just too damn low for a National Football League game. This Kenny Pickett is not bad. And Gil, I'm going to give Yinz a thumbs up. Kenny Pickett, he's not that bad. Last week I talked about green shoots. You remember I talked about green shoots and Yinz didn't know
anything. How can we forget?
The Pittsburgh Steelers offense is showing some signs of life. All the people here in Pittsburgh are happy about how we're showing some signs of life. And I think we can actually move the football against a horrible Ravens defense. And 36.5 is just too goddamn low. Give me the over 36.5 in Pittsburgh.
What's happening in your throat when you say that word? Life. You sound like an Orthodox Jew. Life.
When Yinz walk downtown and you have a big meal, sometimes you start to show signs of life.
Number three.
He had a bunch of a Baltimore accent in there, too. Yeah, it's a nice little hybrid today.
Little Orioles you had in there.
Yeah, that was pretty good there, Toddy, today. As it always
by
is.
By the way, even though I did that in an accent, Huntley's not that bad, folks. He's not that bad.
Yeah.
I am taking the New England Patriots on Monday night, laying a 1.5 in Arizona. I just think the Cardinals are a completely dead team at this point. And it is amazing what they did this offseason, where they gave Kingsbury an extension and then paid Kyler Murray all sorts of money. And Kyler Murray at this point kind of is what he is. When he's 100% healthy, he can be as electric as anyone in the league. But he's 100% healthy for a grand total of 3 games a year at this point. And as soon as he's not 100%, his production dips in a big way. And look, New England, I know Arizona's off a bye. New England's essentially off a bye, too, let's face it. They played Thursday night last week. So extra time for Belichick to take care of that offense. I'll lay the 1.5 with New England on the road against Arizona.
Belichick versus Kingsbury.
I'm going to say advantage Belichick.
Philadelphia right. Eagles are my final pick, laying the 6.5, right? Not the 7, correct? 6.5?
Eagles. Yep.
6.5. I have enough 6.5.
Yeah.
You guys won with a Smoke and Mirrors Giants show last week, as always. By the way, the person on Twitter was like, who's more Smoke and Mirrors now, Gil? No, it's still the Giants. They are King Smoke and Mirrors. Look at the box score. Absolutely, they're the most Smoke and Mirrors team. And by the way, did Tyler Heinicke have a key fumble in that game? I'm curious if he did or not. But
I believe it was early in the second half in a tie game. But I'll be honest with you, you were on the right side of the game.
Thank you very much.
The Giants were not the right side in that football.
The Giants.
But you know what? It's that kind of thing where when you have 7 weeks in a row covering the spread, it just the luck has to run out sooner or later.
Okay, you keep harping on that as the reason that they lost. That's not the reason.
No, I know. Listen, I'm just saying.
The Giants covering again, they are the most smoke and mirrors team. And listen, that offense, watching them against Washington, everybody said Brian Daboll, oh, such a genius. I am not buying this Brian Daboll genius thing. Everything seems to go to Daniel Jones in the end. He is the entire offense. It's like, all right, let's just see. When they really need yards, it's not Saquon Barkley. It's like, just tuck it under. Let's run Daniel Jones around the side. And if you see an opening, go. I'm like, oh, what a genius this Daboll guy is. I said earlier, like 4 weeks ago, I was like, take the under adjusted win total on the Giants. I still say that. At the time, it was 9.5, 10. I let the hate wash over me. They're not getting there. They're not getting to the postseason. And the Eagles are going to roll them. Unless the Giants follow the Washington playbook against the Eagles from several weeks ago, which was executed to a T. I don't think the Giants can sustain that, though. So the Eagles, -6.5. That's my play. All right. Final, well, no, not the final two questions yet, but the third to last question. Teaser of the week. Syndicate teaser of the week. Mike.
Yeah, I'm going with the Eagles down to 0.5 now. Almost a pick 'em. And then the Ravens. I agree with what Ty was talking about with points being scored in this game. I think you guys are going to laugh at this. It is Tyler Huntley, right?
Yes.
Tyler Huntley, the quarterback there for the Ravens. He's going to score some points, I think. You know, the thing about Pittsburgh, too, and the 8 touchdown passes this year so far is Matt Canada as an offensive coordinator. I think he's coaching for his job in that situation. I do think the coaching staff is motivated with all this young talent to Pickens screaming that he needs the ball more. That's going to produce a scenario in my mind that this game's not going to be that conservative and the Ravens are going to have to manufacture points. So I like a teaser situation with the Ravens teased up to 8.5. So that's my teaser play right there.
By the way, ESPN.com, big red breaking news thing, right? You know what this breaking news is? Snyder allowed team's toxic culture report finds. Really?
Shocking development.
Wow. I'm glad. Wow. Breaking this, huh? Wow.
Hashtag breaking.
Permitted and participated in the team's longtime toxic work culture. Is he leaving or not? Is he selling or not? That's all I want to know. Todd? All right. Teaser?
Poor organization down there in Washington. That's all I can say. It's a pretty poor organization. For my teaser, I would like to take the Ravens plus the 8.5, just like with Mike on that one. I just don't think plus the 8.5. The Steelers aren't good enough to be beating teams by margin. They're a defensive team, and even though I do think there's going to be points scored, I just think Huntley – I remember seeing Huntley not be bad. So I'm going to take the Ravens plus 8.5. And I know this is not good because I'm not getting the full value of my 6 points, but I just do not see the Bengals losing this game. So I want to take the Bengals. I guess it's plus 0.5 now, and you're not supposed to do that, but I just don't care because I just know the Bengals are not losing this game. They lost to the Browns before. The Bengals have turned the corner. In the last couple of weeks, there are certain teams when they win a couple games in a row, I go, that's nonsense, like the Raiders or some of these nonsense teams. The Bengals have proven to be a real quality football team. Joe Burrow is fantastic. If they can block for Burrow, they can win football games. And I think they're going to block for Burrow, and I think they're going to win the football game.
Well, again, I like that Todd is the first one to upset the math people today. So that's good with me. I'm with Todd. I'll push Cincinnati. This was six before the show started, so we'll push it to plus a half. So if the game ties, we still get home with the Bengals. So yes, we could get that for the second straight week. And you know what? I'm going to do this, and I'm sure that I will regret this. I'm going to push Minnesota up.
You got my teaser.
I'm going to push Minnesota up because could Detroit? Their offense has been legitimately great the last month. There's no arguing that. Could Detroit put 40 on them and we could be in big trouble? Sure. But I just have a feeling Detroit blew that first game in Minnesota. If Campbell makes one of five right decisions, Detroit wins that game at U.S. Bank Stadium. Minnesota's just going to keep this game tight. So you and I think, have the same
one.
We
have the same teaser. Yeah. Bengals-Vikings.
Yeah.
I don't think the Lions are going to blow them out.
Yeah.
And I'll take the Bengals essentially to win. Final two questions.
Yes.
The large favorites, which is the most likely, in your opinion, to lose outright? Here are your candidates. The Raiders tonight, 6.5-point favorites at the Rams. There's six of these. The Bills, 9.5 or 10-point favorites at home against the New York Jetropolitans. The Eagles, 6.5 or 7-point favorites on the road against the Giants. I guess we can't include the Bengals anymore because they fell under six. So there's only going to be two.
Oh, well, that was my pick. Why can't we include them?
Okay, we'll include them. Bengals, we'll make an exception. Bengals then 5.5-point favorites now hosting the Browns. And the other one, of course, is the Cowboys. Cowboys 17-point favorites over the Texans. And also the Chiefs 9.5-point favorites at the Broncos.
Did you say Rams game?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So Mike is going to take the low-hanging fruit of the Bengals.
Right. I had to. I mean, I didn't include that because of Burrow, right? I mean, just like it was the opposite of the situation from last week. He's undefeated against the Chiefs, and look how Burrow played. I think when you have this picture in your mind as a player and you cannot beat that team, some way, somehow, you find ways to mess it up and make mistakes. And I think the Bengals could be vulnerable and in a divisional game. Also, Deshaun Watson will have improvement once he watches himself on tape. Along with what Cleveland wants to do rushing the football. So a divisional game like this, I think the Bengals could be vulnerable.
Dad?
I think the Raiders could lose. I really do. I know it's crazy to think that the Rams could beat a team, but the Raiders are just not good enough to just be rolling. So I'll say Rams to beat the Raiders.
Jeffrey?
All right, Gil, I think you can guess what mine is yet again.
Oh, I know what yours is.
Buffalo Bills to lose to the New York Jets.
Homer. Homer. Todd, I'm with you. Raiders. I think it's the Raiders tonight. Short week. I just don't trust them. Plus,
the Raiders are not a team anyone can trust. And would you be even surprised a tiny bit if you wake up and you go, oh, Raiders got upset? I mean, come on. The Raiders lose to Jacksonville. The Raiders lose to the Colts. The Raiders lose to everybody. It could happen.
Final question. We live in a bizarre world. There aren't six teams on bye, so we have fewer games this week. No more byes after this week. But we live in a bizarre world, and we're forced to bet a side on every one of the games, but you're allowed one pass. Mike, what's the game you want no part of?
Tampa, San Francisco. I can't find an angle that I like and enjoy for that game. I mean, Tom Brady hasn't been himself. They're averaging about 18, 19 points a game. And then on the other side, Brock Purdy is a favorite. I don't know why that situation even exists. I know their defense is fantastic, but it is Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady's played against top defenses before, but it's not the same situation. But I just can't call it with the betting angle in this game.
I'm with you. That's my play because I think that has the most variables, right? Because are you going to get a Tom Brady flourish at the end? What's the Brock Purdy story? I'm totally with you. That's the game I want no part of. Todd. God.
I want no part of Arizona on Monday night against the New England Patriots. I've got no clue. Arizona's just a wacko team. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. And the Patriots also just like very hard to put your finger on which team you're going to get. So I don't want any part of that one.
Chargers and Cardinals remain the two teams for me that I basically want no part of any week.
Mm. Of course, I ended up on the New England game, and I ended up on the game you guys don't want either. So it'd be a hell of a week for me, probably. I'm going with
Jeffrey. I just wanted to tell you one thing before we end the show, and that is Bosa comes off the side, strips Zach Brady. He's going to pick it up and run in. The Niners lead 7-0 already, and Brock Purdy hasn't even been on the field.
you know what the scary part of it is? That actually could happen. I'm going with the AFC South game in Nashville, Jacksonville and Tennessee. I both of those teams got shellacked last week. I know we didn't talk about this at all because it doesn't impact these games currently. It'll impact next year, but Titans firing John Robinson now was very weird.
Was
very, very strange. But I want no part of this game. It wouldn't shock me if Jacksonville wins outright. It wouldn't shock me if Tennessee wins by two touchdowns.
Todd, how old were you when your parents first looked at you, at your behavior, and were like, oh my God, he's going to be a problem?
And I didn't hear that.
Okay. For Todd Wishnet from his mom's Cork Attic at Pittsburgh, PA, star of the Showtime docuseries Action, still available on Showtime, by the way, on demand. Always a must-see. Jeff Parles, VSiN host here in studio. And Mike Pritchard, thank you. First time ever on the podcast. Let's get you, you know, if this was not too upsetting to you and not at all horrible.
Because of all your interruptions? Is that why you're saying that? Because God interrupts a lot.
I'm just going to throw it out there. People can decide on their own reasons why it might be upsetting to them. We get you on every year if you're so kind to do so. We really thank you for spending the time.
Oh, absolutely. It was my pleasure. Great to be with you guys today.
All right. And again, Deion Sanders at Colorado. What's the over-under on total years?
I'm going to go over 4.5.
Oh. And are you going to be involved in any way? Let's break some news.
No. As a supporter, heavily involved for sure. Okay. But and on the staff, the coaching staff, no. I'm going to let Coach Prime do his thing.
Do you have coaching aspirations at all?
No, never. Okay. They're wired differently. I'm not wired to be a coach. I know that for sure.
Okay. Mike Pritchard, everybody, thank you. Also, VSiN host, the Pro Football Blitz. Thank you for listening. Good luck with all your bets. Week 14 in the National Football League.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.